August 5th, 1957.
This is Dr. X.H. Balthazar. I am broadcasting once again to present to you my findings from the world of the uncanny. I have recently received a letter from a young lady named Lisa Wenley from New Orleans, who has been the victim of a particularly dark and gruesome tragedy. I will be meeting with her shortly to listen to her story and shed light on the horrors that human beings are capable of committing. Miss Wenley, it is a pleasure to meet you.
What's that thing?
Oh, that's my tape recorder. It's still all right that I broadcast this, correct?
Yes, I'm just a bit nervous, scared.
There is nothing to fear. Speak openly.
You ever pinch yourself to wake from a nightmare so hard that you bleed?
I cannot say I have.
Well, you'll never believe it's real. My mom kept telling me to stay home and go to sleep. There had already been a number of girls mysteriously disappearing. I should have been asleep in my bed. And it would have been nothing more than a nightmare. I didn't do that, though. I decided to go out with my friends to the Central City Club up on Bourbon Street. They all had boyfriends, so I spent most of the night alone at the bar. I didn't feel much like dancing. I had just lit a new cigarette when he came over. You know how they say eyes are the windows to the soul? Well, I didn't see any soul behind his. They just reflected the world back off of them. He said his name was Wayne Carter. Then he asked me if I felt that.
Felt what?
Love at first sight. I must have been blushing so much. Then he introduced me to his brother, John Carter. Pleasure to meet you, beauty. He had the same stale eyes as Wayne. I was too high on all the compliments to think twice about it. They bought me drinks, and I drank, and I was having fun. And then, everything goes black.
They drugged you?
I believe so. I don't know what they did or how I got there, but when I came to, I heard the sound of a girl screaming somewhere in the distance. I opened my eyes, but all I saw in front of me was darkness. I was blindfolded. I was sitting in a chair. I tried to get up, but my arms were tied down. And then someone came in. It was dark, but I could faintly see something moving towards me. But I didn't know what. I started to scream, but nothing came out. My mouth was gagged. A man out of shadow walking to the corner of the room. Something falling. It sounded like metal. I felt like I was drowning in the darkness, in the unknown of what was before me. Then someone hit the light, and I heard the sound of a knife being unsheathed, and made out the sight of light reflecting off a metal object. I could see that there were two bodies in the room. That's all I knew. And they were approaching me slowly. I tried to scream. Oh, I tried to scream so hard, but it was no use. No one could hear me. I was muted. I felt a finger on me, a cold finger, and then a hand, and another one. And then the hands became a blade. A sharp, cold blade that pressed into my left wrist and pulled down vertically. They still said nothing. Were completely silent, like ghosts. No sound. Nothing. Except the sound of my blood hitting the bottom of what sounded like a bucket. Pit. Pat. Pit. Pat. They cut my other wrist the same. Now there were two tapping sounds, slowly speeding up, as more life drained out of me. Nothing I could do. Staring into darkness. Screaming into nothing. Completely helpless. I don't know. I thought I wanted to speak about this, but I don't think I can.
Take all the time you need.
I was struggling so much. I guess they didn't see. When the blindfold slipped up a little, and I could better see the floor, I saw a pair of hands opening a black box. But I didn't know what was inside. I had lost so much blood by then that I passed out. When I came to, I saw through the crack that my wrists were both bandaged. There was something stuck into the crease of my elbow. I tilted my head just high enough to see that I was hooked up to an IV with fluids inside. I think it was. I felt my body being replenished. My body easing.
They wanted to keep you alive?
Or, if they wanted to kill me, they wanted to make it last. My eyes gazed over the floor. I couldn't help but notice drops of blood scattered, and a few large red footprints, and a can of what seemed to be kerosene. There were cigarette butts all over the floor. On a bottom shelf, on the opposite side of the wall from me, was the same black box I saw earlier. I knew there was something important inside, but I had no way of knowing what. I kept my eyes peeled for anything that could help me escape. Then I thought, if there are cigarette butts, there must be some fire nearby. I was right. There were matches just a few feet from me. I was still so weak, and the IV was short. But I scooted my chair over, and by extending my foot out as far as it could go, I kicked them over. I just needed to get the matches up to one of my hands. With a lot of bending, I did it. Now, I had to get a match into my fingers and light it with one hand. But it was no use. They kept slipping. Then, two sets of feet again. White crocodile shoes on one, and green on the other. I didn't want to lift my head enough so that they would catch me looking. So I just followed their shoes around the room till I heard that knife being unsheathed again. Then I saw two white shoes place two large black buckets under each of my arms to catch the blood. Again, they placed the tip of the blade on my wrist and sliced me open like I was some deer they had hunted down and killed. Like I was their property to hurt. The blood started pooling immediately and then dripping and then gushing. I remember looking down and seeing my skin stripped from the bone, hanging loose and flapping open.
What is it?
Has my blood poured out of me? I saw a hand grab the black box from the shelf. But this time, I saw what was inside. There were two wine glasses. I soon passed out again. But when I came to, my blindfold had been removed. I could now see clearly who was standing in front of me. It was Wayne and John. They were sitting a few feet away from me with wine glasses in their hands. Wayne and John, seeing that I was awake, turned to me and spread their lips apart into fat red smiles, blood running down their faces.
Delicious. You full, John? Stuffed.
John pulled out a knife, the same one I assume they used to cut my wrists, and he held it up to my throat. Remember how I said that when I first woke up, it was from the sounds of a girl screaming somewhere far away? I think they were done with her and wanted to hear her scream before they killed her, because that's what happened to me. John stood up and held the knife to my throat. My fingers scrambled to light the match in my fingers. Again and again I tried, but nothing. And then I did it.
What happened next?
I woke up in a hospital bed.
You were saved?
They say I put myself there. That I left those scars myself. They told me a different story, involving nothing more than a razor in a bathroom. But they're wrong. I know what happened. I just don't know how I got to that hospital bed.
Thank you for sharing your story. Your bravery is profound. Speaking with Lisa opened up a well of darkness that lives in human beings that cannot be ignored. Whether or not her story happened in this reality, it is one that reminds us that sometimes the greatest monsters are human beings themselves. As always, thank you for tuning in, listeners. And until next time, I wish you goodbye and good night.